Blog Talk Radio.
We decided, you know, going back and coming back to doing the show, and we've renamed it as Maypang's and Somatic Karma Show. And because of different things that have happened in the last few months, and I want to say I'm missing my co-host Cynthia Nielsen, but she's been in the midst of doing a lot of different things, and we talked about it. And so at one point she'll come back. Because I miss her a lot, and you know, when she's ready, she'll be back here to give us her opinions, which we know are very strong, and she's great. And but today is the first time we've been on the air in, I guess, 6 months at least. And my first guest co-host is my singer-songwriter friend, Evie Sands. Evie, come on, and you know. And be here. Are you there?
Yes, Evie. May. Hi, how are you? It's so good to talk with you again. And very quickly, shout out to Cynthia as well. She's so great, and I miss hearing her voice on the other end as well. So hi, Cynthia.
Yeah, we miss you. Come back. You know, it's been so long because everybody's been asking, am I still doing the show? It's just that our projects have taken us to different things, you know, in this last year. I mean, the last time we were doing things, and so many things have happened. We will see doing our stuff to now. I mean, I think we have the Me Too movement, the Harvey Weinstein that's still ongoing, because the other day he got another person has filed a suit against him, and then Bill Cosby.
Oh, God, yes. And me, Time's Up, those two sort of intertwine.
Everything,
Me Too, Time's Up. And continuing to unfold, as you say.
Right. I mean, I know that Bill Cosby he's sentenced, he's found guilty. And it's amazing when you see people saying, I don't believe he's guilty. I find that a little too... I'm thinking, are you watching the same thing I'm watching? And
well, you know, when they say, what is that expression, when there's smoke, there's fire? So
right.
When you have, I'm exaggerating here, but when you have 1,000 people over several decades who don't know each other, who come forward and basically have the same story and the same MO, who are asking nothing, it's not blackmail, it's just a story, and then what people have known quietly in the business maybe didn't know everything but knew things for years and years and years. When someone says, as you just mentioned, that they don't believe it, I mean, come on, that doesn't pass the smell test. There are facts here, real facts.
Oh, I totally agree, because here's the thing. First off, I can't believe that Camille, his wife, even stands by when they keep saying it's consensual. I said, I don't know how consensual it is when they're being drugged. They don't know they're being drugged, so how consensual can it be? So
consensual is when people knowingly cheat. So, okay, he's, say, a serial cheater, and if there's a woman and she wants to go out with him and they fool around, that's consenting adults. But as you just said, when someone is not there for any such purpose and they're drugged and they're unconscious, we also call that date rape. But premeditated stuff over decades and all of these people... it's really, really sad, and it's very shameful, and it's, I think you and I agree that one thing that we really just cannot stand is hypocrisy. And here's a guy who it was not, didn't have a, as we would say, a bad boy image, but someone that had this very wholesome family image, you know, really, really nice, and always held up his family, a family man. Those, I think, are the most, almost egregious, because it's hypocrisy, you know, it's just so crazy.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, that was the first thing. I know his sentencing is coming up in September, but now he's fired his whole legal team and got a whole new set on the way. So that to me is, you're just stalling. But I have to tell you, I mean, I do know people that have said, I don't believe it, because they've come in and they said, well, why didn't they tell people back then? And a lot of them did, privately, because back then, and it's a different time as it is now, everything is relative, but back then you said it to anybody, your job was on the line, your whole reputation, everything, you were out. So it's really, I remember somebody saying, they should have said something. There were people that were told, but you couldn't say it outright, because he was that powerful, and people don't remember. But he was so outright, he was so powerful that he wanted to buy NBC. So it's like going up against like what we have now, the president.
Well, yes, and just as you say, it really was mostly an impossible situation. You know that old expression when they say, "Well, go fight City Hall," either because of the, as you said, reputation, or just fighting someone that's so in power and has so much money that they will never be believed. It'll be twisted. They can plant false stories and things like that. So, yes, maybe they did confide to someone personally close to them, but they just had to suffer privately, and they could never say anything. And finally, when one woman really had the courage to come forward, it opened the window through other people just having some, even just closure, to come out and say, yes, this happened to me, you know, me too. So,
yeah, like, you know, who wants to come out? You know, and they say this, who wants to come out and say these things if they weren't true? It is, you think money? I don't think anybody would want to come out and say that they had been raped by this guy and then say, I'm looking for the money. And, you know, when the whole world would know what went on, because you had to say everything and what, you know, describe it.
God, right. It actually was a horror. So for forever, women have been victims really twice. First, they suffer the horror of the act itself and the indignity of it and the violence of it. And then, if in fact they do come forward, or anyone has ever in any situation like that, they suffer because they're accused as if they did a crime. And then if they actually go to court, oh gosh, just like you suggest, and what they have to go through and how they're vilified by the other attorneys and things. So, yeah, who the heck wants to come forward with that? And then with the other power, against power and money, and someone's reputation as being, you know, the squeaky clean, nicest guy in the world, really, it's clear. But you know what? The name of your show, Instamatic Karma, karma is a bitch. So, yay for karma.
Absolutely. I know now, let's get off of that for the time being, because we can go on with so many of that. But what have you been up to since we last talked?
Okay, so in a nutshell, after we spoke, I did a fair bit of touring, had some fantastic shows. So first, let me just say that I'm so in love with my band. We're great and dear friends, so we really like each other and love hanging out, and we love playing together, and they're just so, each of them so talented in their own right, with their own projects and things. I'll just say Teresa Cowles, bass and vocals, Jason Burke, guitar, keyboards, vocals, Eric Vesper, drums and vocals. And then in New York, or when we can get him, there's Mark Broder, who's, as I say, a New York guy, who is a terrific drummer, no vocals, but with mm-hmm. with us, he plays percussion. Out here, or depending geographically, we have Kurt Medlin, who does percussion. And then there's a sort of a another dear friend and bandmate who's been living out of the U.S. for about a year, Adam Marsland, keyboards, vocals, guitar, all of that. We've been playing for a long time, and when he is in the country or we can hook up with him somewhere in the world, he's with us too. So we had a lot of fun. It was great to see you. I had some shows in New York.
It was great.
Cutting Room was fun, and I loved the Union Pool show in Brooklyn because I love those kinds of shows where people stand and are packed in. There's such an energy and an intensity that in turn we and the band back and forth, it's electrifying. And that, I have to say, kicked ass. That was just such a fun show. And it was great to see you. It was fantastic. We had such a good time that night. Right before your birthday and your big birthday show.
I know. I wish you could have stayed because I think you would have liked the birthday party that went on. Because we have, most people know because we post up and everybody can't wait to post up the jam session. Because the jam session is what everybody loves.
I would love to have been there. That was the night that I had the show in Brooklyn. So
yes.
While your party was, we were dueling banjos. So we were having simultaneous festivities going on. And by the time I finished, when we were all done and loaded out and out of there, the door was locked at the cutting room. So, but I would love to have been there. And I would absolutely
We'll just have to plan it again and get you to play or be around when I have my party. Steve is great.
Absolutely. I will crash your party anytime.
You're not crashing,
it's so
you're invited.
Fun. It's one of the most fun things to go to. So many, you're so great and you have so many wonderful friends. We have a lot of mutual friends too. And it's just such a fun affair, and it's all about music and friends and celebration and of course birthday festivities and
But you know what?
What do they say? What's not to love, right?
The whole thing is that when I started these parties many, many moons ago, and I will say that many moons ago, it was just a fun birthday celebration to bring people to gather and come in and just get together. And over the years, it has just snowballed into a whole, everybody wants to get on the jam. I mean, I've had people like the famous Billy Cobham, one day, his brother and sister-in-law lived around the corner from where I lived. And I remember them coming, walking in the door, and they said, brought Billy in. He's visiting us. And I just started to laugh. And so here's Billy Cobham walking in. And my friend, of course, Billy Amendola, who's, one of the associate editors over at Modern Drummer, knew. It was so funny because he walked in and looked at me and said, is that Billy? And I said, yeah. He goes, what's he doing here? I said, well, his brother was around the corner. So all of a sudden, Billy Cobham knew other people. So my parties are one of those where somebody knows somebody. They're never alone. They're never in there and they say, I know no one. They'll find somebody they'll know. And it's who else lives around the corner from me? Jay Siegel from the Tokens.
Oh, how funny. Fun in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Your hood. Very nice.
Yeah, my hood. And it was so funny because I found that out, and one day, I was at Lou Christie's house. He was having a Christmas gathering, and Jay Siegelman was talking about living up in Rockland. And I said, you're kidding. And then we turned out, we both lived up there, and I saw his license plate, I believe, and he was in front of me, and I laughed, and it was a Weemaway, that from the song.
Perfect, yes.
And of course. But here's the best part. My my daughter's fiance. I got to get used to this. They just
you
got
have to
engaged.
Get used to saying that.
Yes, because they just got engaged.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
To her and yes. her fiance and,
then,
and to you.
Yes, thank you. They're not getting married soon, believe me, so it's okay. So I'm okay with that. So they're taking their time, which is always good. They've been together for so long that
mm-hmm.
I already we're part of the family anyway, so it doesn't matter. But it was
mm-hmm.
kind of fun. I was talking to Chris's mom, and I said, well, you know, this guy Jay Siegel, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, yeah, I know. I said, because I know him as a guy that walks the dog, because he has a dog. And I said, well, yeah, he's in that band. And I had explained it to her because she didn't know anything. I said, he's in that band that, you know, that song. And I was doing this whole thing. She goes, you're kidding. So that's
gosh, I love it.
Yeah, so it's a funny bit. So they know each other from seeing each other walking the dog with the pets and then finding out that they both know me. So it was like, you're kidding.
I love when stuff like that happens. It really,
yeah.
it happens all over the world. That's always that famous thing. There's someone trudging in the Sahara Desert, and oh, look who's over the next sand dune, right? I mean, those things happen. It's so funny. It's great. It's great. Small world. Well, back to what we've both been up to until we get to today, right? So
yeah.
A lot of that, a lot of touring, fun, great stuff, and seeing old fans, new fans, of which, I mean, you know, I absolutely love that. And then had a really nice piece in Mojo, maybe about 5 months ago, nice feature, and, you know, some other stuff, interesting little projects. And we can save more for later. And what about you? What have you been up to since we spoke last that I don't know of?
Oh, that you don't know of. You know, it's like, it's been crazy. I mean, I'm trying to get, I'm working on a project which people will hear about soon enough. But in the meantime, I had been, I had just finished doing a gallery showing where I was, you know, I had some prints that I was selling, and it was the first time I was actually selling the limited edition print of the last photo of John and Paul that I had taken years and years ago. And
where was what location was that photo taken?
Well, the
was
photo
it, was
I
it just
saw...
a, was it a, just a casual thing? You mean like a just a kind of meet up, hang out thing?
Well, we were all, at the time, first off, we didn't know Paul was in town, and we invited him over to this house, as everybody, you know, a lot of Beatle fans, so it's the Beach House, it's known as the Beach House, and Harry, and it was Harry Nilsson who actually rented the house, but they call it John's house, because it's always, you know, who makes more better copy in a, you know, for notice, it's either John Lennon or Harry Nilsson. It's always going to
mm-hmm.
be John. So
mm-hmm.
So we went, he came over, Paul came over, and we were just starting the Harry Nilsson album, Pussycat. And,
yes, okay.
Yeah, and so they came over. It was Paul and Linda and the kids at that time. I do remember Stella, and I do remember Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember, were there any more kids? That was because it was just, we had, everybody brought their kids, musicians were over. So the house was filled with people. And and they were just sort of sitting down, talking to each other. And a lot of people were surprised to find that they were friends. And, you know, one of the things that I try to tell everyone is the fact that they left the business at the door. And
mm-hmm.
they still loved each other no matter what. And they still
mm-hmm.
care about each other. But when they were involved in the business, as most people, if you're involved in business, sometimes you get angry at your brother, your sister, or your aunt, your uncle, and you don't talk for a while. But that
mm-hmm.
doesn't stop the love that came between them. And so it's when they were just sitting there, they were just casually talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of funny. And I so I, the photo was a Polaroid, and I laughed because I put that in the book, and I make reference, and I said, John is actually wearing my jeans.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
They were my bell-bottom jeans. They were the big, wide, you know. My lamb lubber jeans. They were the wide.
Capital
leg.
B for Belle, absolutely.
Yeah, not the small one, but the big one, you know.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And I started laughing. I said, you could actually see an imprint if you look closely on the picture, that one part of it was a slight darker than the rest of the jeans that had been washed, and because I had embroidered. Obviously, they were my jeans, so I had put embroidery down towards the hem of the jeans. And I thought, with stealing my jeans, I don't think I want butterflies on the jeans. I was like, I cut it off. And when I cut it off, they're, of course, it's darker because, you know, that's where I embroidered. So it's kind of
right,
funny.
Right. Oh, I love it. So this the exhibition that you're referring to, was that in New York City?
It was actually out in Long Island. It was out in the Long Island picture frame and gallery out there, and out in Oyster Bay. I had.
Wonderful! I'm sorry I wasn't in town to see it. I'm sure that was wonderful.
Yeah, you would have loved it. It was a lot of people, a lot of packed. It was, people were coming in. I had friends coming from everywhere. My friend Rose, who just had celebrated a birthday yesterday, Rose Gross Marino, and she was great because Rose is. An old friend that I've known for eons, you know, she's...
how great that is, yeah.
Yeah, she used to be... I've known her since 1970, but here's the thing. She used to work for RSO Publishing.
The Robert Stigwood Company, yeah.
Right, Stigwood. But one of her last jobs she retired, she worked for Clive Davis. She was the right arm to Clive. And,
so two interesting people right there, Robert Stigwood and Clive Davis.
Yes, and Rose, it's so funny. She drove out, her and her girlfriend Marie. They came out to see me, and it was lovely of them because it was a long drive. And she is so amazing, and her late husband was George Marino. And he was the mastering engineer at Sterling Sound that everybody wanted.
Oh, right. I was going to say, that name sounds so familiar to me. Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
So I didn't realize. He passed away, huh?
Yes, he passed away. And so Rose, I drag out. I love her to death. I said, we're going out. So she comes to my party. She's the life of the party. Everybody that she's met, they all love her. She also has written a book. And
what sort of book has she written?
It's supposed to be fiction, and it's about music, rock and roll, and the mob, the mayhem of all that.
Oh,
stuff.
I love it. That's perfect. Three good ingredients right there.
Exactly. And she's been around for ages, so she's seen a few things go on, and I'm sure that helped along with the book and what was going on. So,
Let's just say, even if it's fictional, what she experienced in her real life and the things that she's seen are perfect. It's perfect research to write a book from that. At least it's real stuff. It's not just made up stuff. So
right, and you know she draws from it. She knows it. She grew up in. She also, I did not know. In fact, when she was born, in Panama, and then she grew up here. Yeah, so I had no idea originally, and then she came up here, and you know she lived in Brooklyn. She's had, like I said, she's a fascinating woman. She's got she's got grace. She's funny. She's wonderful. When you come up the next time, I'll
oh gosh, I'd love to meet her. She sounds so wonderful. What a great person.
Oh yeah, everybody loves her. When she comes to my party, she's the life of the party. Believe me, she's the life of the party. She reminds me of her look. She reminds me of Betty Boop.
Oh, that's great. Oh, God, that's perfect. That's perfect. That's
gorgeous.
Such a stylized, instantly stylized image right there.
Yes, and she's wonderful. And then, so she came out there, and my friend Roberta Fabiano, who also came out there, she fabulous guitarist and singer. She's amazing. You know, that's why I would love for you to come to some of the things that my parties, because you'll get a chance to meet everyone.
Oh, I do. I wish we weren't separated just kind of on a daily basis by the geography, because there's so many different things, you know, your things and stuff I'm involved in, and, you know, mutual friends, and we'd have such a good time. It would be great.
Oh, I know.
But we'll make some of these things happen for sure.
We'll definitely going forward.
Absolutely.
So that
exhibition, was it a 1 day exhibition, or did it run for a while?
It was a 2 day thing. I even had Jackie the Joke Man, who used to be on Howard. He dropped by, and there were different people that came in, and a lot of fans. There was a woman named Diane, and lovely. She came to that, and after that, the following week, I did a talk at the Forest Hills, which is in Queens, one of the boroughs of New York City.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So I did a talk
where the tennis tournament is.
Yes, exactly. So I was there, and Diane came out there, and lovely lady. She came out to hear me speak, but I was being interviewed by this guy, Kenneth Womack, who did the biography and wrote the book on Sir George Martin. So it was such great fun.
So was the seminar, was it about music business stuff?
Yes, Beatles and everything else, and it was a packed room. We tried to get more chairs in, and we were over our limit, let's put it that way.
Oh, that's great.
And
needless to say, I think you may have had some experience working in the music industry for like a day, right? I think I heard a rumor about that.
I started out in so long ago. It was in 1969. So I started out, and music publishing was my favorite part of the business.
Working with songs, it's so rewarding, right?
That's why I said I love singer-songwriters, because when you write, you hear, you feel. So that's one of my things. And later on, I worked at United Artists, and I remember working with a lot of the songwriters, and I got a few major cuts for them, because I understood, I could hear them, I could feel their writing. And they were great.
Yes.
And then you
can imagine others who could do it, and then it's like a passion. So you love what you do, and it just makes such a difference.
Yes, and Bob Halligan was one of my major writers, and I turned him.
Oh, cool!
He was a Christian writer, and I said, I can't work with you on Christian songs then. And I said, you got to do something else. I turned from a Christian writer to a heavy metal writer. Everybody said, isn't it the opposite way? But I got his first major cut, his first platinum cut with Judas Priest. So that's where that went.
Perfect. Bullseye right there.
Yes. So they loved him, that they wanted him for the next album. They wrote with him. So he was doing very well. And at one point, up until this past year, he was sort of a professor, and he taught the Beatles class. And for 3 years in a row, I was invited to go up and speak there. And apparently, I was the favorite of all 3 years of all the people that had gone there to speak.
What a nice compliment that is,
yes,
really.
It's so
rewarding, as you know, and as you're just like you're talking about. I love doing things as well where I get to really interact with people and fans and supporters. Or even sometimes I'll do like a guitar workshop. And sometimes what I do is, depending on how many people are there, I'll ask, what do they really want to get out of it? What's the overall consensus of what they're looking for? And sometimes it turns into almost like songwriting classes or things, but it's so rewarding. I, I, I love that. And then after the fact, just as you're saying, if I truly hear feedback that people really enjoyed it, because I enjoyed it immensely, then it feels so good. It's such a wonderful mutual connection.
Oh, absolutely. When the kids came back this year, and knowing that this is Bob's last class, I had people that actually left their classes at Syracuse University to come and hear me speak again. So it was
right,
nice.
Right, when you get repeat business. That's a good thing, right? So when someone comes back, it was so nice they want to do it twice. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of them, one of them last year was funny, or was it this year? I can't remember. She said, "Oh, I'm so glad it's a female. Well, we had a male." I was getting really upset that there wasn't a female person in this group, you know. And I said, "No, there is." And she was so happy to hear. And this year especially, I noticed that most of the attendees are female and not so much male.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yes.
That's great to hear. I because there just has to be so much more of that.
Yes.
Just
and not only
getting out there, being encouraged, having ways in which they have windows through to get in and back to, you know, without going into it again, but just what we talked about last year about
Absolutely. Women
being encouraged and supported to do these things and have ways then of going about it. And it's just so time for that to happen. And plus, which another topic for another conversation is
Absolutely.
Ageism.
So
I'll just
yes.
drop that and let it go.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because there are so many. Yeah, absolutely. And then, like I said, the kids in the class, and it turns out a few of the kids in the class are, I know their parents. So from the music business, these are kids that are now attending the colleges and universities, and they're in there, and they came to hear me speak. It was just kind of funny. It was nice and nice to know. And one of them turned out that my friend Danny Strick, was one of the co-presidents of CBS Publishing, or, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm just sort of, and his daughter was up there, and like I said, I had a great time just going up there. Hey, listen, winding down already, but now tell me what are your things coming up in the next few weeks or months? You have things coming up.
Well, okay, so right now I'm in the early stages of doing my new full album. It's the really beginning stages of it and writing furiously. So a little segue back. So writing, there you go. And also one of my greatest joys and fantastic. So that is big project. And I probably will be doing a crowdfunding campaign that's associated with it in the near future, and I'm actually kind of excited about it because it's a way to really directly do it together with fans and supporters and get a lot of feedback and input from them, and so that's going on. And then a little bit further down the line, not too far, but I'll be back out touring and doing shows. I have a few things that are kind of cooking. I won't announce them yet, but of course on my website I always have stuff, evsands.com. So all that stuff is always there. And just as a little thing, I do love the EP from last year. I still do have, because it was a limited edition release, I have a few limited edition, that really beautiful multicolored vinyl stock left, and those of course are available on my website, and probably a few CDs too here and there, but just so excited about the new record as well that's being birthed right now, and and touring and being with the band, and again just I so love meeting people, seeing fans, doing shows. It's just the light of my life. It's just great. It's really such a privilege to be able to make music, to be involved in artistic endeavors and then get to travel and meet people. And those are really a lot of the good things about the world, and stuff that you were saying, like friendship and good things with family. Those things are good forever. They never go out of style, and they're really, really treasures. And I know I do just treasure it, as I know you do. And what about you? What's wrapping up for today
wrapping
and
up,
the conversation?
Yeah,
what's going on with you upcoming?
In my, isn't that weird? 9 minutes. We have 9 minutes. Well, you know what? I'm still unpacking, having moved, and I still have, because I can't just do these things. You know, you come from a big house down to a small apartment in the city. I still sit here and I'm working on it. And people say, really? I can't do this on a daily basis. I need help because I can't look at it. I can't give up my vinyls. I have so much. I'm giving up some of my CDs because there's some of the CDs I really don't want. But some of my precious CDs, one that my ex-husband Tony Visconti produced, Annie Haslam, one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, that's a great record.
Well, the Blessing in Disguise. I'll get one to you. It is
I would love one because I don't have. I used to have one. I was kind of shared with someone, but it wasn't really mine.
I have an extra one because one of my favorite is the song is called Blessing in Disguise. That is one of my favorites because when people hear it, they don't even realize it. But Tony was brilliant on this one. He did it and it's all a cappella. The whole thing is a cappella, that song.
What a talent Tony is.
And yeah, he sings along with it, right. And he does sing along with it. And, you know, and like I said, and then my son, at the same time as my daughter was getting engaged, my son was moving to Minnesota. So I was just like, I was all over the place
had he been living in the New York area?
He was living in Texas. And
he went from south to north.
He couldn't wait to get out of Texas. And now he's, as my daughter would say to him, she used to say, hey, dude, better live near civilization, will you?
Minnesota, is he near civilization or is he really like out in the sticks where we moved to?
Well, Now where he's moved to, he can reach Mall of America. So that's civilization, you know.
That's a good thing then.
He's a consultant for I think the company's called. It's part of Best Buy where they do security for the house and everything.
Nice.
You know, yeah. So I'm very proud of him that he's a consultant there. The corporate office is, because that's where Best Buy is, the corporate, and they want him to do some stuff, and he's been doing that, and he's been working his little, butt off doing this. And my daughter is also the senior packaging and graphic designer for Nest Fragrance, you know, the candles that they have.
Oh, yes. Oh, how
so that's what she's doing. So they're all
over
there. Oh,
I love it. She's a creative
they
soul
both
in
are.
The arts. I love
they
it.
They both are. Because he actually graduated from Bolton University in England with a degree in animation.
Oh, really? I love animation. I've always loved animation. That's one of my favorite things. Fascinating, just the process of it. Of course, old school, as well as all of the new modern CGI stuff. I have some friends also that work in that field. And I love the great animated movies are some of my favorite. Oh, so that's cool. Your kids are both very creative and talented souls.
Remind me when we see each other, because she does a lot of cosplay. And when they see the picture, everybody goes, "That's your daughter?" Because every time she does a whole different look, and she really does. She's very versatile, and I think where this comes from is more my mother, because my mother was like that. She could do things, and she taught herself how to sew, how to do things, and this year she's also planning. Her roommate Melanie is is getting married, and they're getting ready for all the friends. One from who's been living in Japan, she's coming in. The other one lives in Korea, they're coming in. So the whole, it's going to be crazy.
You know what? How fun, how exciting and fun, and all for such happy reasons and great. That's the best for people to get together for all that good stuff. There's nothing better, right?
Yes, and guess what? At least three, I don't know if Mel does, but the other three, they sing. They all sing, too. My daughter, her father, once in a while, if they need an extra vocal, would call her in,
So it's nice because it sounds like she's got all the good stuff from both of you.
Well, she's got it all. And
yeah,
so
she's got
it.
What did they say? She's got it going on, right?
She's got it going on. So anyway, we're down to the last roughly 4 minutes. And, I want to thank Gary Raychak for.
And me too. He's such a great guy. I love Gary.
Yeah, Gary. We love you out there. Thank you for helping us put things together and being the middleman for us, because with our busy schedule, we needed somebody else to organize us. And,
yep.
Hi,
Gary. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know what? Thank you for being my guest host with me, Evie. I love you. I hope we could talk anytime. You have my number. You know where to find me.
Likewise, yes. And thank you for having me, and I love you, and I love, we can talk for hours always.
Oh, I know.
Listen,
everybody.
And it's so fun. It's great, and I really, really look forward, I hope, very soon that we'll get to see each other in person again.
Absolutely.
Have fun stuff.
Everybody to go onto your website. Everybody should go onto eviesands.com, and go to the website. Check out everything that she has, because this woman can write, can sing, and you never know what else is coming. And you know what? Let's do a whole thing and get your next record going. This is where I'm looking at,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have lots of good stuff, both of us, coming right in front of us, coming up that we're working on. Lots of fun stuff to talk about and just stuff to think on, and it's good for people to think on, and just have a cup of tea and join in the conversation. And this has just been wonderful. I love you, May, and I really can't wait for us to catch up again.
I love you too, and it sounds like a love fest, but we do love each other.
And nothing wrong with that, right?
No. And you know what? I want everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up and waiting for this episode. There's going to be more. And we're just getting back into the swing of things. And Evie, we'll be talking soon. And you're coming back.
Yes, we will, indeed.
And we'll be coming back. So I'm going to say adios for now. And listen, you know where to find us. See you soon.
Okay, ditto,
everyone.
Adios for now. Hi to everybody listening. Thank you. And again, thank you, May, and love you. And until soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone. See you next time.